Well, good morning. Good to be in church with you. Good to have those of you in the house and those of you who are watching online. Thanks for joining us, whatever day or time of the week that you're engaged. We're diving in together in this series called Devotion. Now, speaking of devotion, we've just wrapped up 21 days of prayer and fasting. How was it for everybody? Some growth during that time that you heard the Lord during that time. I know I've just read just wonderful devotions that people in this congregation have shared. To hear their heart for the Lord has really been awesome. And I know for me, just to walk with that every single morning, and I've had some fun engagement back and forth with those who have written some of those over that time. And really, really cool. To finish up, last night or yesterday, Michael Lale shared on day 28 a devotion out of Joshua 24. And Joshua 24, Joshua is speaking to the people as they're having to consider their new direction. And he says to them, choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. Will it be the gods of your fathers or your ancestries or your culture, or it will be the living God? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua makes a statement as a leader of his household, this is the direction we're going. Now, all of us have a choice. We have an amazing God who loves us, created us in his image, but created us with a free will. And that free will can get us a little trouble, can't it? But the beauty of a free will is we get a choice. And what we've been thinking about in this series called Devotion, as we kick off this year, we have a choice. We make all kinds of decisions. We have all kinds of self-improvement programs that we want to get in. And some of them may have been far gone by now at the end of January. But one challenge that I gave to you is, what about our spiritual life? How do we go through this year with a spiritual life that is on fire? Now, maybe you came into it going, you know, I feel kind of dry in my spiritual walk. What do I do to get the fire back? You may be in a place by which you were excited about becoming a Christian and you've been following Jesus, but that's long waned and you, man, I'm just kind of going through the motion. I'm showing up at the right places, but I don't feel a heart for the Lord. So what we've been talking about in this series, if you're new with us, is we've been looking in the scriptures of how people were used by God and how people were excused by God. Being excused by God is not a place we want to be. But we see in the scriptures many who kind of waned in their walk with God, began to follow other ways, and God didn't use them. And we also saw people that were on fire for the Lord and how God breathed into them and how God provided for them. And they were on this track in faith. They didn't know it was coming, but they chose God and God carved the way to change their families and their communities and even their nation. So here we are at Christ the King. We head into a new year. It's an exciting year. We're finishing up a building. We're opening up Steel Creek Community Place. We're engaging in all kinds of new aspects and ministries. And where we want to be, I believe, is on fire for God. We want to see people walk on this campus and feel and experience something simply as they walk on and engage people like you and me, whether it be in a cafe, a playground, a community, a feeding program, wherever, and to say something's going on there. What we watched in the book of Acts when the early disciples began to follow Jesus, they were contagious. The church grew radically in a time of great persecution. And even though the Roman Empire was pushing back against Christianity, and every day Christians were dying in persecution, yet it grew like crazy because they had the fellowship of the people and they had the goodwill of the communities. There was something about their faith that was on fire. So what we begin to look like over these past weeks is what is it that fans the flames? As Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So what he's reminding Timothy of, and he reminded everyone, keep reminding you over and over again, this is a work in progress. It doesn't happen just because you show up, okay? It takes intentionality. What Paul is telling Timothy is, he's going to say, you must fan the flame, or it's going to go out. In essence, Timothy, there needs to be some patterns about your life if you want to stay on fire in the way that you are right now when I laid hands on you and released you into ministry. For every one of us, that's the case. So Timothy had to begin to think about, what do I need to be about in my daily life for those fires to keep burning within me? Are they going to fade away? What we looked at in Acts chapter 2 were four key spiritual ingredients that we can find throughout the Old Testament and New Testament that what we could say is if we're living these things, they are the fans to the fire. So in Acts chapter 2 is a piece I want to come back and visit. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. There are four things that we begin to see that they were devoting themselves to. So in our terminology today, what does that look like in reality? We looked at it as alignment prayers, reconciling meals, Bible study, and intentional Christian community. Those are on your outline that you can keep up with. So we begin to open up, okay, what does that mean then? What does it really mean to be devoted to that? I've yet to meet someone who says they follow Jesus that doesn't pray, that doesn't gather with other Christians, that doesn't at least hear the Bible or read the Bible or get a Bible app, or be in the aspect of gathering with other people in fellowship. It's kind of natural among those who would call themselves Christian. So why are we not on fire? Right? If those are what we're about, why isn't the flame burning passionately within us all the time? See, there's a difference of just doing it and going through the motions and being devoted to it. I believe any of you, when you devote yourself to something, change begins to happen. You make a deeper intention in it, and you begin to set the stages in motion for it to happen radically. If you're devoted to your work, you work at it, you get better at it, and you perform at it. If you're devoted to your marriage, you're in it every day going, how can I make it better? How does it look? Being devoted to it makes a difference. So what we begin to talk about in week one is, what does being devoted to prayer mean? If you miss that week, it isn't just about praying. Is about being devoted to the prayer pattern of the Lord's Prayer. That pattern of that Jesus taught them to pray to be aligned with him in his will and his way is what changes the world and sets your heart on fire. Last week, we looked at the second one. It was about reconciling meals, or it was about they devoted themselves to the meal or to the Lord's Supper. It's not about just eating or even coming to the Lord's Supper when we offer it at church. There was something bigger about it. It was about being reconciled with one another and with God. Because when we live in a state of unforgiveness, it closes, it builds walls and barriers. And if Jesus is one who broke down the dividing walls because of forgiveness, we raise them up because of unforgiveness. And we can no longer hear God. So we talked about that significantly last week of how do we live devoted to that. Today I want to take you one step further and we want to look at intentional Christian community. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the fellowship. Not just hanging out, but there was something unique about it. If you ever heard or seen on TV the rental car commercial, it says rental cars are boring. Anybody ever seen that commercial? Am I the only one who watches TV? Or in today's world, am I the only one that watches the commercials? That's the issue, right? Well, the commercial goes like this. His rental cars are boring. And the problem's in the name, rent a car. See, nobody wants a marriage. You want the marriage. No one wants just a job. You want what? The job. No one wants just a car. You want to rent the car. Now, what comes in your mind now? I know if I was going to go rent the car, it wouldn't look like the cars I normally rent. Because I want to go have some fun. I want to take it. So I want you to note here that Luke, in writing this, did not say they devoted themselves to a fellowship. He said they devoted themselves to the fellowship. There's a difference. And see, as Christians, we can often get caught up in the fellowship and not really experience what Luke was talking about when he was identifying how this change in fire was happening in the Christian community. There was something about this fellowship that wasn't just a fellowship. It wasn't just hanging out with other Christians. There was something about this fellowship that caused their hearts to be set on fire and their lives to be changed. In theological circles, we might call this fellowship, in this terminology, the word koinonia. Anybody ever heard that word? You might hear about it if you've walked around in church circles. It's kind of an insider church word, koinonia. And in Greek, it means fellowship. So I want to identify what it actually means so we can get a handle on it, because that's what we want to devote ourselves to. Here's the definition of koinonia. Koinonia is a common unity of the Spirit that comes from a shared Christian beliefs, convictions, and behaviors. Now take a look at that. So koinonia happens when we are connected to the Spirit of God and we share in common Christian beliefs that bring about a conviction in our lives to how we live, and it changes the behaviors as we live out life. So you hear the congruency there? The integrity that's a part of that. It's not just about identifying ourselves as Christians. It's having a common belief system, a common convictions that we live out, and behaviors that are recognizable in the culture in which we live. When we're not on fire for the Lord, that may not be congruent in our lives. When we're not on fire for the Lord, we might say one thing and do another. They don't line up. In your outline today, I put some of those down, and in your study notes, at the end of your study notes, I listed there what are the theological aspects that are common Christian beliefs that make for Christian community. If you're in a Christian community and those are not common Christian beliefs, you're not living out koinonia. Okay, so we need a basis of understanding this is what it is we believe as Christians, and this is why it changes our lives, and this is why our behavior looks different than those in the rest of the world. Now, understand in the midst of this community, before Jesus and before the early church, there were no Christians. So where were they? They were worshiping all kinds of things. There were all kinds of gods and directions that people were in. And when Jesus Christ came, he called them to the living God, and they began to formulate a Christian theology, a Christian understanding. And it was causing them to begin to move from this way of life to this way of life. Now, we all know it's one thing to say I'm going to be this and a whole other thing to behave like it is, right? Letting go of old patterns is hard. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he says, what does it take to be born again? It was a difficult question. He says, it's not as easy. You can't just climb back in your mother's womb and be born again. He says, you must be born of the Spirit, or what he called be born from above. It means that when you join with the Spirit of God, your old life dies, but your new life comes about, right? Easier said than done. When I give my life to Christ, I've given my life to Christ. In my old life, I can say bye to, but it keeps creeping up. And thus was the same with them. They were human beings just like you and me. They were coming apart and they were following Jesus, but their old life was grabbing them and holding them back over and over again. That's why they had to devote themselves to the prayer that Jesus taught them in the right way, to the reading of the word, and to the fellowship, because alone they would be eaten alive, or they would be consumed by their past lives and have no growth forward. You see, the fellowship was critical. When they found themselves in the fellowship, incredible things begin to happen. They begin to hear the word of God, the voice of God. They begin to find a fellowship with the community around them. They saw miracles happen in their lives. They were seeing change happen every day in people's lives. And the Lord was adding. It was a contagious community. It was the fellowship that held them accountable in the growth that they desired. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, he's speaking to this new Christian community. He says, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. That began to be the beginning of koinonia. Okay, they were beginning to live it out. Now, it doesn't mean they all had the same thought or the same ways and those kind of things. What he's talking about here, be of one mind, have one set of belief, one set of convictions, one set of behaviors by which we understand ourselves as followers of Jesus. See, it was life change, wasn't it? He says, agree with one another in that. That's what's important, not how you do this or that, but the core ingredients of what that looked like. In 1 John chapter 1, he speaks of it this way. He says, but if we are living in the Spirit, notice the word if we are living in the Spirit or living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what's he saying? He's saying, if we're living in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The alternate would also be true. If we're living in the darkness, we don't have fellowship with one another. So what's the difference? See, there's one of the challenges that all of us have. It was the challenges they would have. If we're living in the light, as Jesus is in the light, then we're exposed, right? And we have fellowship with one another. If we're living in darkness, then we don't really have true fellowship with one another. And as I often share with people that I'm counseling or teaching or guiding, I often say to them, what is in the dark cannot be healed. What is in the light and is exposed can then be seen and healed. So think about that in our walk. What we keep within us, what we keep in the darkness, keeps us from our growth. But what is exposed and what is seen allows true fellowship in the community that now promotes that growth. And it says the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Because the Bible says if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive us. How critical that is, living in the light. But it's easy in the midst of fellowship to live in darkness, isn't it? Just to kind of hang out with one another and not let anybody really see who we are. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So what's the goal here, Paul's saying? For everyone to be what? Mature in Christ. That's the goal. So what is Paul working so hard for? What is he willing to toil over? Helping people grow in maturity in Christ. That was worth something. That was the fellowship. I think about, you know, the passion and goal of my life as a discipler here at CTK, and the thing that is the most toil is to work among you so that you would grow in maturity of Christ. Because at the end of the day, what's the goal? To present you to Jesus, mature in Christ. Okay? That's the goal. That's worth the effort. It's worth the hard work to present you mature in Christ. And as you do that with one another in your own families, you're doing the same thing. But it's easy to fall in the other direction. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer writes, or Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, it says this, about this we have much to say. There was trouble going on. People had fallen away from the core beliefs. It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. He just kind of lays it out there, doesn't he? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles in the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. So what's he saying? He's saying you've been going to church, you've been in Bible studies, and you haven't learned a thing. He said, you've been walking through all the motions, and I thought by now you should all be teachers, but where do I find you? You're all still students. And you're not maturing. See, it's not just in the church today that was happening, right? It's always been true among people. We lose something of the fire. So what was happening, they weren't a part of the fellowship. They were part of hanging out or going through the motions, but what was happening is they were no longer maturing and growing. And Paul meets them and goes, this is where you're at? So they begin to think about that aspect. Dylan Ernie was sharing earlier this week in the 21 Days of Prayer, Isaiah chapter 48. And I was shooting a text back and forth to him as he was reflecting on that passage. And it opens up in verse 18. It says, if only you had been attentive to my commands, your peace would have been like a river and your well-being like waves of the sea. So he's reflecting back going, man, if only I had followed in this way, then I would have been much further along. But here I find myself. We might say I find myself not really on fire for God. Why? You see, we can't do it on our own. It takes the fellowship. And that's what's critical. It takes one another living this out in order for it to happen. So as we go forward, this is one of those days at this time of year where we've been in launch the spring community groups and an opportunity to dive into those groups, get connected with groups and study groups and service groups so that we can begin to grow. So all of us are accountable and responsible that those groups look like what? The fellowship, right? So when you're in them, I want you to begin to think about what are the pitfalls of groups that don't necessarily grow the fire and the maturity of Christ, and what can you do about it? How do you begin to recognize those things in your life or in the groups and begin to say, hey, wait a minute, I really want to grow. Can you help me in this way? So what are some pitfalls, normal pitfalls of these? One is group can lose the mission. It can lose its mission. What is the mission? The mission is to grow in maturity in Christ, right? If the group loses the mission to say, the point of our gathering is that we don't look tomorrow like we look today. If we lose that mission, we lose the koinonia. We might be gathering, we might be a fellowship, hear the difference, but we're not the fellowship. Because the fellowship is about maturing in Christ. So we're always asked the question, what is happening in this group that's helping me move from point A to point B? Is there light in the group or is there darkness? Is anybody revealing and opening up what's happening and what's going on? Another is groups can get too cozy. Now, anybody in here like cozy? I love cozy. They just want to snuggle up and hang out with your friends. It feels good, and nobody's saying anything bad to one another. You're just kind of, man, we're good Christians. Let's just hang out. Let's have some fun. That's all awesome. Cozy is good, but it's not the fellowship. Hear the difference? Cozy, if we turn the fellowship into cozy, then it just gets comfortable and nothing happens, nothing changes. There's a time for that, but it's not the fellowship, not what we're devoted to. Okay to have it, but if you're not in the fellowship, then we're not seeing growth, things happen. It often leads to complacency and just hanging out with one another. Another pitfall of that is we can get too dependent on one individual in an organization or in a group. Okay? I'll tell you right off, my role here is not to keep you as students of the Word. If I kept you as students of the Word, you're always dependent on me stepping on the stage and teaching you everything you need to know. What I need to do is teach you to be teachers. What I must do is to teach you how to grab the Word and open the Word and understand the Word and gather in the midst of community to grow in what? Maturity in Christ. It doesn't take away the role of the teacher, but the church will never spread and the lost will never be reached unless we all are growing in maturity in Christ. So the role of the teacher is to educate and to teach more teachers in the midst of the group. And sometimes the groups can get so dependent on the teacher, we keep students all the time, and they never begin to mature and grow and think about, what do I need to do to be in that spot in order for other people to grow? Really important, it ceases to be the fellowship. It might be a Bible study, but as I'll share with you next week in reading the Bible is never about gathering information. It's about integration of the Word in your life for change. Remember that. We don't need a head full of knowledge. We need a heart full of Jesus. Hear me, church? So there's a difference when what we devote to and what that looks like. But what about individually? If we're thinking about ourselves, what kind of things individually can kind of keep us from that? One is we can just get too busy. You know, and I get it. Life happens, man. It happens. And we can go through the weeks going, I don't know how I got time to be a part of the fellowship. You know, I've got a little time to hang out with my friends on Saturday or Friday night or whatever the case, but to commit to the fellowship, man, when am I going to find time to do that? That lie Satan will put in your life forever, because Satan wants you to be busy, believe me. He does not want you to mature in Christ, so he will fill up your schedule to keep you from being intentional and devoted. Now, another one is this: I'm afraid. There can be fear. I sat there yesterday. Yesterday we had a Next Step class. And a Next Step class is if you're interested in learning more about Christ the King and joining this congregation and being part of its mission, we gather with people that are new, exciting time together. And it's always neat what God does in those classes. And I think the last one I had, everybody was practically an introvert. Yesterday, everybody was practically an extrovert. So it's kind of neat what God does in different classes, and they had no idea what it would be like to step into a group. Man, that's easy. That's awesome. But introverts, man, you've worked all day, and you said, last thing I want to do is go hang out with people at night. That's a big barrier to have to get all my, I'm going to create ways to be busy because, man, I'd rather be by myself. Okay, there's barriers we have to cross. Our lives get, and we get be afraid of it. Man, I'm afraid if I go there, I got to open up. You know, if I go there, man, I might have to change. I don't want to change. I'd rather keep this in the darkness. Man, that might be too much work. But you know what the beauty of it is when we begin to break through? I have a gathering on Tuesday nights with the community group that I'm a part of, and it's a group by which we're training people to be leaders, and we're gathered together, and we're outnumbered by children, always, and I think we have 18 children and 8 adults. You do the math, and none of them are mine. It's an awesome group, but the interesting thing about it is in the place we are now after 16 weeks is we're getting to a place by which we're living in the light. People are getting honest. I don't know how to pray very well. Well, let's learn to do that. Or, you know, I don't even have a budget, and in my budget, I don't give anything. But I know I need to. I should. I want to be generous. So help me get there. Help me to put first things first. Man, incredible, honest conversations that are happening in the life. Growth moving from A to B to C to D. We're seeing the life open up in the lives of these people because they're learning to be honest with one another. They're entering into the fellowship. I always tell people, it's not a disgrace to be ignorant. It's only a disgrace to remain ignorant. It's not a disgrace that you don't know how to read the Bible. It's only a disgrace not to desire to learn to read the Bible. It's not a disgrace that you don't pray out loud with eloquent prayers. It's only a disgrace to say, I don't want to learn how to do it. You see, intentional community, God wants you to grow, and he wants to open it up. And we want to be the kind of church that opens itself up to the fellowship, which gives room for broken people to grow, and people that are not as far along as others to meet together without judgment in order to move everybody to what? Maturity in Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. The last pitfall I want to lift up is this. If you ever say, I can do this on my own, you are mistaken. I've been at this a long time, and I've never seen Christians grow because they decide they just want to grow. You can't hold a sword in the air and expect it to be sharpened. It takes another iron on it, doesn't it? And as long as you're living, am I living in my own head thinking I'm going to get holier, it's not going to happen until somebody else enters into your life and my life and helps me grow. Hear me, church. That's what the fellowship is. And that's why it was started, and that's what created this incredible Christian community to move forward. So what I want to do is close out with this, and I put it on your outline to hold on to. I want to end up with 4 key essentials. It's essentials for intentional Christian community to mature in Christ and fan the flames of spiritual fire. So I want you to be able to go into your groups and ask these questions. Is this happening? I want you to begin to think individually. You don't have to come to me or Pastor Bill or any other pastors here and say, hey, and my group isn't doing it right. You be in the group. You make it right. You grow it because you want to mature in Christ. Help your leaders in your group live out the calling that God has put on them and rise up as leaders. So here's 4 simple things. One is be devoted to sharpening. Here's a wisdom passage from Proverbs 27. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. It's the only way it happens, okay? I need people speaking in my life. You need people speaking in your life. It's the only way it happens. And they got to know me well enough, and they got to know you well enough, and you got to be honest enough. You got to be in the light for true fellowship to happen. Iron sharpens iron. Take a look at this picture of what that looks like. I give you this because I want you to learn to be teachers. This is an image of how every one of you in the room has been raised. It's just on a formula. It's called a matrix, an invitation and challenge matrix, or an invitation and relationship. Every child has ever been raised has always been raised by a calibration of encouragement or challenge and relationship and family. Now, this is how it kind of plays out. If you look on the left upper side, upper left side, you'll see the quadrant says low relationship and low challenge or low invitation. That means I'm inviting you into my life. No one's inviting into your life. No one's challenging you. In that situation, or in that situation of high, it's actually high relationship and low challenge, and that dynamic is very cozy. That's when everybody is friends. Nobody's challenging one another. Everything's good. Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That gets really cozy. It's a place we like to live. A lot of churches can be in that place. Homes and families can be in that place. It's really a dangerous place for families. Because if your family's really cozy and no one's challenging and growing one another, that's when kids aren't raised to have discipline in their lives. Okay? And you get struggle on it later. But everybody wants cozy, so I don't want to offend anybody. Okay, look in the bottom quadrant on the left side. What does that one say? Bored. Okay, when you have low relationship and you have low challenge, it's a boring environment. And you leave a boring environment. Who's going to stay around boring? What that looks like is this. If you came to this church and nobody ever, and you never created a relationship with anybody, you never met anybody, didn't learn from anybody, never were challenged to grow, you're eventually going to do what? You're going to leave. Because why stay there, okay? And that's what it can be in a community group. You go into a community group, and you're just reading the Bible. You never really make any friends. Nobody ever introduces each other. Eventually, you're going to what? You're going to leave. It's only natural because it's kind of boring. Now, here's the difficulty in it. The only way you can get to where you want to be, breakthrough, which is the upper right column, is to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Because who in this room loves to be changed? One of you. We all say it, but we don't really want to. And to get to breakthrough, it means we have to change. It means we have to grow. We're moving from our old life to a new life. And that means that a challenge is increasing in my life. As I was growing as a young pastor, I had other pastors that were challenging me to grow. Did I ever like it? I remember when somebody early in this congregation, when I was teaching here as a young fella and starting this congregation up, and says, man, if you just need to get out of your notes. If you had preached from your heart, and I'm like, who are you to tell me? I went to seminary. See, we can take that or we can what? We can grow. We can begin to meet, well, to help me with that. We can open up our, help me with that. Tell me a little bit more what that's like and help me get to that place, okay? It helps you grow. All of us find ourselves in that place. But that's where it leads to breakthrough. But it's always painful to ask the questions of how can I grow? Because when you do that, then the challenge is going to increase. Now, look at the upper right quadrant. What's necessary for growth to happen in the fellowship? A lot of relationship and a lot of what? Challenge. That means I must calibrate. The more I challenge you, the more I need to have a relationship with you. In your community groups and among your children and in your homes and wherever the case, if you're trying to help someone really grow, you must invest more of yourself in them. It's critical. Why do you think Jesus walked with the disciples for 3 years? If you watch, there was much calibration of relationship and challenge. Relationship and challenge, relationship and challenge, to walk them through maturity to be able to lead the church. That's where I want you to be. That is a church that's changing the world, and it's being intentional in the fellowship. Get it? Let's take a look at the second one. We must devote ourselves to balance. Devote ourselves to balance. Take a look at this next image. What does the triangle represent in theology? The Trinity, okay? The Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So every one of us in this room, every one of you online, everyone in the world is created in the image of who? God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the only way we can truly live out our lives is to live them in the image of who? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But many times when we live out our fellowship, we live it one-dimensional. We might live it in the end. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm going to gather together. I'm going to love one another. We're going to get to know Jesus. But we don't take time to really say, hallowed be your name. You are holy. You are mighty. You are who God's called me to be. Seldom do we get to a place sometimes where we live it out as a community. How do we live out what God's calling us to do? The Spirit sends us out into the world as it did the apostles. You see, the balance of that makes for a lively, engaging community because most of us grow when we serve together, right? So the fellowship that they were a part of was coming together, worshiping God like we're doing here, learning together, hope, helping one another mature in Christ, and then going out in the world in the mission God had had them, which made them have goodwill with the people. Hear me, church? Imagine what your groups will look like when they live balanced. The fellowship becomes huge and authentic. Third one is this. They were devoted to outreach. Devoted to outreach. I was struck this past week when Deb Houston shared in the 21 Days of Prayer on 1 John chapter 1. And it hit me in a new way. And I said, I need to bring this up on Sunday because it affects his groups. It affects what the fellowship looks like. In this passage, in 1 John chapter 1, it says this, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship, this is speaking about the koinonia in this case, with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. So what's going on, church? What are they wanting to do? What they are learning, they want to give to who? Those who are on the outside. They are focused. We don't want to just do this for ourselves. We want others to know it as well, that they might be connected to us. Now, what's really cool is this, when it ends up, it says, so that our joy be made complete. If you're thinking you're having a good time in your community group, and I pray you do, it ought to be awesome. There's no greater joy that you will have as a community group when you're seeing lost be found, unbelievers become believers, and people get saved. That's what he's saying, is because we are introducing you to Christ, our joy that we thought was huge is now really complete. The last one is this, being devoted to meeting. Remember, they were devoted to the fellowship. Paul writes in Hebrews, again, in chapter 10, it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, they were thinking the Lord was going to return any time. But for every one of us, we don't know when the time is. And I'm not saying I want you to live scared that you may not be here tomorrow. That was very real for them. In the Roman Empire, people were being persecuted. Some that came to be in the fellowship didn't show up the next day because they were thrown in a pit or killed. There are many in our world, as we see all the time, that are at risk. Huge risk of being sucked in by the world, taking one step too far, no longer being available to even tender to hear the word of God. The time is now. See, the day is approaching for every one of us. And it becomes a decision. It becomes a, you saying today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for us, we're going to focus on the fellowship. Because we want to grow and mature in Christ. Because God has work for us to do. And the day is approaching when there's people that we know that may not be reached anymore. Because they went too far, and they can no longer hear. They're so dull of hearing. We know what that's like. We know what goes in our mind. I wish I could have reached that person or that person, but look where they are now. We want to pay attention to that day in and day out. And when we're in the fellowship and we're devoted to maturing, we care about those who are not there, and we're committed to coming, we will see incredible change. I can't wait to see what happens at CTK over this next year. You know, COVID, we keep talking about COVID. It's in the rearview mirror mostly. It played havoc on the fellowship. It kept us at home for a long time. We got in unhealthy patterns of not being around other people. And it has cost the church globally, not just here, tremendously. Most of all, it has cost you and me maturity. We need to claim it back. And it's time to really consider devoted to the fellowship and watch how God moves. Good? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your blessing always. You are good all the time, as we sang earlier. Your goodness is chasing after us over and over. May we stop and reflect and engage with you through the Spirit and with one another in the fellowship. Help us to grow, Father, in maturity, that we are able to walk and help one another as teachers and students, all growing and moving, mentoring and guiding, all of us finding our place for ourselves in growth and others that we're helping to grow, to be this authentic body that you've placed in this community, in this region, to change it. Father, I praise you for the way this church is moving. I praise you for so many dedicated teachers and leaders who say, yes, my home is open, and yes, I will help others grow. May you continue to move among us, that we look more and more in the way that you called us to be. We love you. We thank you for forgiving us, for walking with us, for never letting us go. In Jesus' name, amen.